website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network, heard in Amelia Island at 91.3. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have each and every day as we face the issues. I pray that as you join in the broadcast each and every day, that it is informational, beneficial, informative, inspirational, and challenging. That's the design purpose of our broadcast. And let me remind you once again, as we face the issues, we do so based on a theological, doctrinal, biblical, fundamental foundation of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. We do not base our position on facing the issues on some denominational dogma, philosophical rhetoric, or political ploys. We do so based on what the Word of God says. And let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is very, very clear in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34. Righteousness exalteth. That means to lift up, to glorify, to build up a nation. But sin is a reproach, a dishonor, a shame, an insult to any people. And I believe that we recognize that. In fact, more and more of the conservatives, the Christians, the patriots in America, I believe are recognizing every day where we are in the state of affairs in our great nation. And I believe as Christians, we need to stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. I believe it's time for us to, as conservatives and Christians in particular, I believe it's time for us to stop sitting in silence and be a part of the direction out of the quagmire that we find ourselves in as a nation. Today, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issue, we're talking about 18 days and counting down. 18 days and counting down. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, in the next 18 days, of course, early voting's already started in many states, but in the next 18 days, we the people will make a conscious, deliberate decision for the destiny of our nation. I don't know how I can emphasize it any greater than that. Your vote and my vote counts. And it counts not just in the state of Florida, where we've got six amendments, proposed amendments on the ballot, that two of them in particular, if they pass, will destroy the morals, the ethics, and the values in the state of Florida. We'll talk about some of that on this broadcast today. We have a very special guest that we'll introduce after our monologue and discuss some of these issues. We'll talk about today, what's your takeaway of the Bret Baier, interview? With Kamala Harris. She tried to filibuster the interview. What's your takeaway? We'll be asking our guest that today. We'll be looking at what's taking place in the state of Tennessee and North Carolina in relationship to North Carolina in particular. Some of the counties have dramatically changed the rules and the regulations just by fiat, the rules and the regulations directing the election and how the votes will be collected, how the votes will be counted. I'm concerned about it. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be talking about today what's taking place in some of the states where federal courts are jumping in and determining that the states or counties cannot clean up the voter registration rolls and take those that are dead and those that are illegal, those that are non-citizens off the ballots, off the list to be able to vote. What do you think about that? Will it throw the election? Will it destroy the election? We'll be talking about also the latest news in the state of Florida. Governor DeSantis and others that's in charge have discovered that thousands upon thousands upon thousands of the petition signatures that put the murder by way of abortion on the ballot for November the 5th were, in fact, fraudulent. Dead people are non-existent people. We'll talk about that today. So I'm inviting you to join in the discussion. After a brief monologue, we'll introduce our guest today. Then our telephone lines will be open. We'll invite you to join in the dialogue and discussion. The telephone number, lest I forget it, is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the truth book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus says, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. And the truth shall make you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." But ladies and gentlemen, we find those today that reject the truth, have disdain for the truth. It goes back to the George Orwell, the secularist, that said, the further society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. But let me tell you again, truth matters. Truth is a major integral part of our society, and the warp and the woof, that's the actual fabric of our nation. We need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that truth does matter. Although 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, say there's no such thing as absolute truth. They say, and I quote, "Each person determines their own version of truth." There's not but one version of truth. A half-truth is a whole lie. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." That's my challenge on this broadcast each and every day. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for a Time. Tools for a Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for a Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for a Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, the good news is Tools for a Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for a Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for a Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark, an identifier. There's a 165-foot flagpole on the campus of Tools for a Time. Atop that flagpole flows Old Glory, the U.S. flag. And ladies and gentlemen, at the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for a Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, 18 days and counting down. Let me say this, ladies and gentlemen. Let me ask a question, and then we'll introduce our guest, and then we'll open the telephone lines for our callers. Let me ask you a question, ladies. Would you believe it possible that a pro-murder, pro-abortion side would cheat? You think they'd cheat? That's kind of a ridiculous question, isn't it? I just simply say, oh, no, never, never. Yet, ladies and gentlemen, it's been discovered that at least 37,000 petition signers for the fraudulent ballot amendment proposal, those signatures were from either dead people or people that were not qualified or simply a multiplicity of fictitious phony names. Also, some of the TV ads, ladies and gentlemen, for the pro-death, pro-abortion advocates are using fraudulent narratives. For example, they were saying supposedly a young woman in the state of Florida died because she was not able to get an abortion. Ladies and gentlemen, the governor's office, the prosecutor's office, and the front headlines in the local newspapers are talking about that. And the governor's office and those that are under his leadership are demanding a cease and desist of the television networks that are showing that ad because it is an absolute fabrication. It is not true. That dear young lady, it's unfortunate, took a abortion pill, and as a result of that, I won't go through the integral details, but as a result of that, she bled to death, and it was not a matter of being refused an abortion. But they're claiming that is the case to gain sympathy, to get the loose likes lost liberals and the pro-death by abortion voters to go out to the polls and vote, and vote in Amendment 4, which is a death amendment. ladies and gentlemen, we'll talk in a moment with our guest today about that, the pros and the cons. What does Amendment 4 say? What does it do? What does it not say? What does it? What doesn't it do, ladies and gentlemen? Listen, every Christian, every voter needs to vote no on Amendment 4. We must not sit today, ladies and gentlemen, any further in silence. Let me tuck in this little statement, a little factor, and then we'll introduce our guest today. According to the latest Barna report and the survey made, Christians, professing Christians, and I think they said something like 104,000, 105,000 or 104,000, 105 million that are, quote, professing Christians, religious people, I think he further stated, say that 17% of them would vote in this election if the pastors in the pulpits would explain to them the pros and the cons and what they need to vote for. I am sick and tired, if I can say that very pointedly, of spineless pastors that will not talk about political issues, or as they call it, political issues. It's civil government issues. It is moral, ethical issues. It is about faith, family, and freedom issues. They will not discuss from the pulpits. As a result of that, we have millions of Christians that are sitting on their hands and will not vote in this election as they have not voted in some elections in the past. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to have with us today Congressman Mike Hill. Congressman Mike Hill is taking time out of his busy schedule to join us, and I'm thankful for it. Congressman Hill is the former District 1 representative for the Florida House in the state of Florida. Congressman Hill, thank you so much for joining us today on this broadcast.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you for having me on your show. There's an awful lot for us to discuss today. So many things happening, not only just in the U.S., but around the world, and I'm anxious to join that discussion with you.
Well, we're looking forward to it, and for the benefit of our listeners, ladies and gentlemen, I'm always delighted. It's always a blessing to have Congressman Hill on the broadcast with us. He has a broad spectrum of his knowledge and information about what is taking place locally, statewide, and nationally, and internationally, and I am delighted to have him with us today and trust his insight and wisdom as a Christian. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to continue our conversation with Congressman Hill in just a moment. But let's take a caller. Jim is on the line. Jim, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. Good afternoon, Representative Hill. How are you, gentlemen, today?
Doing great. Pray that you are.
Doing well. Thank you for asking. I watched Bret Baier last night with Kamala Harris. I'm not a big fan of him. He's not what I would call a journalist, but he did practice a random act of journalism last night. The three takeaways that I did get from that is he asked Kamala Harris straight up, 70-plus percent of the country think the nation is on the wrong track, asked her a very poignant question in that regard. She did not answer. He asked her a very poignant question about immigration and individuals who have come here illegally that have committed murder against United States citizens, and asked her why her vice presidency and presidency or administration has not done anything in the 3.5 years. And I will quote her answer. Well, Donald Trump has been running for the president the last 3 years. What in the world does that have to do with the staggering amount of illegal immigration that has occurred in this country and the crime and the rampant methamphetamines that are being brought in across the border? The precursor drugs are coming from China. The drugs are being manufactured by the cartels. The cartels are muling people as sex slaves, muling them. They're doing what they call, they're using these people on multiple fronts there. They'll grab children, women, families. They'll put the drugs on them. They'll force them to cross. Then they'll turn the women, if they're unaccompanied or younger and unaccompanied, they'll turn those women and children into sex slaves. Then they turn around and profit off of it through remittance that comes from the United States going back to Mexico or wherever country to pay for their supposed freedom and crossing, and the cartels are wrapped up all of this in the middle of it. And the only people that are making money here are those that are ignoring, or excuse me, the only people that are profiting off of it are the illegals, the cartels, the Chinese, and the politicians. And I'm pretty sure there's a couple of them that got their pockets lined in one way or another through all of this malfeasance that's going on. I was, when they ended the interview abruptly at like the 27 or 28 minute mark, I'm like, oh, she could not have done any more damage to those that are awake, aware, and listening. If you watch that and you're voting for her, I have questions about your state of health and mind.
Jim, you're on target, and I'll let you hang up, and then I'm going to ask our congressman to respond to it with his thoughts and insight and his take on that. But I'm in your corner. I watched the entire interview. There are a number of glitches that I found in that. And what the average public doesn't realize is standing just off camera were the Kamala Harris people. And they kept doing the, you know, the slice across the throat, cut, cut, cut. They were trying to cut the interview. In fact, it wound up being not even a 30-minute interview, but about 22 minutes in total. And all of it was just simply laughable, in my opinion. But, Jim, thank you so much for your comments, for your insight on that. Congressman Hill, what's your take on that? What did you take? What were your takeaways from that interview? I'm sure you watched it. What were your takeaways from that? And what should we, as conservatives, as Christians, as patriots, what should we, how should we respond to it?
Well, a couple of things, Dr. Youngblood. Jim was right on target, as you said, but this is what I was watching out for. Bret Baier knew that his journalistic future was on the line, and he could not appear to be soft with Kamala Harris, knowing that if he was, Trump would destroy him. And so this time he actually was doing a good bit of journalistic action, asking some tough questions, refusing to let her play her little word salad, not answer the question answers. And he was pinning her down, and she could not provide a good answer. It was also obvious that she had been trained that at each question, make sure you turn it back on Trump. But she did not have the mental ability, the capacity to at least get an answer in before she would turn it to Trump. When he asked her about the 3.5 years of the illegal immigration, she said, and Trump's been running for office. That had nothing to do with it. So she couldn't answer the question before she could pivot to something about Trump, because that's how she prepared for this debate. Turn everything on Trump. But again, she doesn't have the mental capacity to do it. And it became obvious to her handlers, and as you mentioned, they were standing just off camera, and they were giving Bret Baier the signal, hey, stop this now. Stop the bleeding now. And so he did cut it short. And he had to, because it was a complete failure for Kamala Harris. What they were trying to do was to appear before an audience that may not have seen her before, because conservatives don't watch CBS, ABC, and those other interviews that she's done. So they wanted this audience to see her, and they did. And what they saw was someone who was unfit to lead this country, unable to lead this country. She just does not have the mental capacity, the cognitive ability. And in fact, Donald Trump has demanded that she submit to a cognitive ability test. He said, here's the results of mine, let's see yours. And I'm pretty sure she will not conduct or submit to such a test.
We're in danger, Congressman Hill, and I know that you agree with this. We're in danger as a nation if that individual is ever sworn into the Oval Office leading America. Hold your thoughts for just a moment. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood. I agree with everything that was said, especially Jim and the congressman. I believe if you so-called Christians do not vote, we are in trouble. And if you are a Christian woman, because she's a woman, and you vote for her, you are stupid. I don't mean to say it like that, but it is. I mean, you're just blind. Like the Word of God said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge.
Absolutely. Kenneth, you're exactly right. I'm looking at a headline, and it's a sad, sad headline, huge, bold print. Millions of Christians not planning to vote this November, and it could shape the presidential race. It goes on to talk about the number that have not voted and that do not intend to vote. It is my prayer that somehow, some way, God will get the attention of Christians and conservatives across the nation. It is my prayer that God will get the attention of pastors in pulpits, even with 18 days and counting down for the election, get the attention of pastors in pulpits that would be willing to grow a spiritual spine and speak out about the dangers that looms before us as a nation if Kamala Harris goes into office. I don't mind saying, I believe it would be the most detrimental thing that could happen to America. I believe it would plunge America deep into the pits of socialism, communism, Marxism, that there is no, that the average citizen in America cannot even fathom as to the future of our nation if that takes place. But Kenneth, brother, all we can do is keep praying, voting. I've recommended, by the way, and I want our listeners to understand, put in your handheld device a note to everyone in your contact list. Vote for Donald J. Trump. Put in your handheld device that we must not, as Christians and as conservatives, we must not, cannot vote for Kamala Harris. I believe that anything less than that warning, in fact, one mega church pastor warned the people that if you vote for Kamala Trump, it's antithetical to and it's against the Word of God. And he is exactly right with what he is saying in that realm. So, Kenneth, thank you so much. Warn everybody, encourage everybody to go ahead.
Okay, let me ask you one more question.
Go ahead.
If these people do not vote, like you said, America is going down the drain. And then they're going to go like, oops.
Yep. It's our last opportunity. Last opportunity for the saving of our nation, in my opinion. Kenneth, brother, thank you so much for your call. And keep looking up and warn everybody that we need to vote and vote aright. Ladies and gentlemen, we have with us today on air Congressman Mike Hill. He's the former District 1 representative in the House of Representatives in the state of Florida. I'm delighted to have Congressman Hill with us. Congressman, continue with some further thoughts, and we'll wrap that up and go to another element of our need to talk today about the interview with Kamala Harris. I'm looking at an article that says, four takeaways from Kamala Harris's Fox News interview with Bret Baier. Vice President Kamala Harris, the Democratic presidential nominee, repeatedly dodged all of the questions from Bret Baier on Wednesday on the subject of immigration. Bret Baier began the interview by asking Harris about immigration policy. He directly asked her whether she regretted Biden's reversal via executive orders for the former President Donald Trump. She said, "So looking back, do you regret the decision to terminate Remain in Mexico at the beginning of your administration?" Harris declined to answer the question. Bret Baier attempted to return to the question over and over and over. As he would ask a question, she would, as you said a moment ago, bring in Donald Trump and talk about Donald Trump as the, the default for any question that she was asked. Is it possible, Congressman Hill, is it possible, in your opinion, to get a correct, honest answer out of Kamala Harris about any question on any issue?
No, because if she answered honestly, she would have to take the mask off, and everyone could see, you know, just how much of a failure she is. And her handlers recognize that. So no, she cannot give a straight answer. She cannot give a truthful answer. It's not within her to be able to do that. She knows that she must lie about her position. She knows that she cannot tell the full truth about the effects of what the Biden-Harris administration have done over the past 3.5 years. She cannot. I haven't heard her yet talk about her performance as a senator. She leapfrogs that completely and goes back to her years as a prosecutor in California, which, by the way, was a failure. This woman has been a career politician. She has not held a private job, even though she lied and said she worked at McDonald's, and that backfired because just a little fact-checking showed that she did not. She has not worked outside of government her entire life. She doesn't know what it means to earn a paycheck by working hard each day and having an employer sign a paycheck. And so right now she's in a position where she cannot completely tell the truth about who she is or her far left-leaning policies, which are destructive both economically, socially, and internationally. Leftist policies do not work. Marxist, socialist, communist policies have been proven to be failures over the years. They do not work, even though they so desperately want to continue to try it in their arrogance, thinking it hasn't been done properly, but this time we'll do it right and it will work. It cannot work because it goes against human nature. All the socialist policies go against human nature and it will not work. So she cannot tell the truth. She cannot come forward and tell you exactly what she stands for and why, because it doesn't work. And she knows that. But they have nothing else to fall back on. If she told the truth, her campaign would be over, which, by the way, I believe at this point that President Trump is sitting in a real good position to win this election.
Absolutely. I believe we have Derby on the line. Derby, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, I have 4 comments, but they're very quick. First Amendment 3. So what is... to make marijuana legal for adults. Well, what is going to keep an adult, a 21-year-old, to buy it and then give it to an 18-year-old or to resell it to an 18-year-old? How are you going to regulate that?
Well, number one, it's an impossibility, Derby. I could answer that, but I'm going to ask Congressman Hill to respond from his perspective on that. We got about a minute and a half.
No, Derby's absolutely right. You cannot regulate it, and we've seen it firsthand in states like California and Colorado and New York, where it is recreational marijuana is legal. There's a huge black market that is going on that would subvert this whole idea of this. Think about the taxes it'll bring in. No, you're going to have a black market. Derby, your point is well taken. Just like now, adults will buy alcohol and give it to minors. The same thing will happen with marijuana. Vote no on Amendment 3.
Absolutely. And if I could tuck this in the time that we have before our news break, on Amendment 3, with the, I call it the pot amendment, where they'll have the gummy bears and the chocolate chip cookies, et cetera, all laced with marijuana. And they claim that we need to vote for it because it'd be lab tested and safe. That's an absolute lie. You can look at what is taking place in Colorado. You look at what is taking place in Oregon and the state of Washington and recognize that that is a lie. Children, youth, preteens, going to the hospitals, many of them dying because of overdose from marijuana as a result of not knowing what's in mom and daddy's gummy bears and chocolate chip cookies, et cetera, et cetera. So Derby's exactly right. It's not going to stop the kids, the teens, the preteens from getting it, and it will destroy the morals, ethics, and values in the state of Florida if we pass that. So Derby, thank you so much for your insight and your call. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Representative Mike Hill right after the top of the hour news. We'll be right back as we continue to talk about 18 days and counting down. We will make a decision on these issues as we go to the ballot box. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
And Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WAYL.